Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 38 degrees under overcast skies. Today is Monday, March 17th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. Manufacturing, like everything else, is becoming more computerized. But instead of replacing craftsmanship, digital technology is opening up possibilities for students to create things in ways that simply weren't practical 5 or 10 years ago. Three kids at Sitka High School are building a tool, really just a customized piece of metal, to do an unsung but important job in the community. And as KCAW's Robert Woolsey reports, their collaboration points toward a future where we'll make stuff differently.
This is a story about hardware, but on the outside chance you're not into hardware, there is also some impressive footwork.
Where are we at?
We're at an inch and 15 thousandths. I just need to cut 15 thousandths and we'll flip it over and work on the other side.
This is Mark Partito, a junior in the school's metal shop. The room is dim and cavernous. Kids are welding and grinding metal. There is a constant racket. In the middle of it all, Partito stands balanced on his right foot and slides his left foot out of his sneaker and lifts it to his waist to operate the levers and control handles of a huge metal lathe with his toes. I wasn't expecting to meet Mark. Someday, someone will do a story just about him and the birth defect, arthrogryposis, that has severely limited his use of his lower arms and hands. All I can think of is possibly the dumbest question ever asked.
Tell me about running this machine with your feet. Was that a challenge?
A little bit, but this is like one of my favorite machines to work on. Some of the knobs are a little tough, but get used to it.
Mark is shaping a small cylinder of metal into what will eventually become a drill bit, but it's not for drilling holes. The bit will power a winch to raise and lower the baskets at Sitka's community gym. The original part has been lost for years.
My name's Robert Miller. I'm a senior.
Robert Miller goes by RJ. He made the part Mark is machining by casting molten aluminum in this kiln in a corner of the shop.
We're just trying a bunch of different methods and making a bunch of different types of them out of a bunch of different materials. I did aluminum casting with this yesterday. Today I think we're going to do brass. There is steel that has been done on it. None of them are finished yet.
Mark and RJ are experimenting with different metals, but that is as far as the guesswork goes. They also don't have blueprints. Instead, the pair are meticulously copying a red plastic prototype made across the hall on a $13,000 machine called a 3D printer. If the metal shop is the brawn, the hands and feet of this project, the brain is Sitka's state-of-the-art design and fabrication lab. Senior Thor Becker shows me how it works.
It's got to be three-dimensional because what it does, it's a nozzle that melted plastic comes out of and it goes layer by layer. So this is actually just, it prints one layer, and then it starts slowly building up and it has support material underneath it that the bigger one dissolves away and this one, the smaller one, just rips away.
The 3D printer is about the size of a mini fridge. Most of the design work in Sitka's wood and metal shops starts here, among the rows of computer screens. Raising the baskets is important if you want to do anything else in a gym besides play basketball, like volleyball, for example. But for Sitka's nonprofit Hames Center, the $800 replacement part was just too expensive. Thor offered to help.
I took a small bit of just regular ceramics clay down there and kind of wedged it into the hole to get an impression of where what was in there, like what devices need to be turned and moved to spin the device.
He then measured his clay mold, drew the part on the computer, and then clicked on the print button. Thor and RJ and Mark have been fine-tuning the part ever since. Only one thing left to do.
Hopefully by the end of the day, I think the metal shop should have the drill bit laid out and looking nice and ready to go, and then can drive on down there and see if it will work.
And it really works.
My name is Cindy Edwards, and I'm the director of the Hames Center. I'm watching this incredible kid. He's a master, and he's done a phenomenal miracle as I watch the basket lifting up to the ceiling with ease as he just runs that drill. This is amazing. Wow.
This used to take four people working in 15-minute shifts about an hour.
But it's a gym. It's not supposed to be easy.
Yeah, but this one has been so tedious that people fall meltdown crying. And he's just hitting a button.
Thor poses for a picture with Edwards, but he's not ready to officially present her with the bit. He's going to go back to the Fab Lab and print another prototype that he thinks will work even better. For AK in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Sitka High's Design and Fabrication Lab was created 2 years ago with a $65,000 grant from the State Department of Labor and a $20,000 match from the Sitka School Board. Vocational teachers Tim Pike and Randy Huey, who is now retired, developed the idea after attending a training in Oregon. Later this month, vocational teachers and students from around Alaska will travel to Sitka to attend a workshop exploring some of the digital tools in the Fab Lab. They'll each go back home to their hometowns with a small 3D printer. You can see stories, photos from this story, and a short video on our website, kcaw.org. And Southeast Alaska divers were out fishing for geoducks ducks this week for the first time in about 2 months. Although China is still enforcing a ban on geoducks ducks imported from Alaska and the Pacific Northwest, processors have identified other markets. Meanwhile, a diplomatic effort is underway to resolve the Chinese embargo. KRBD's Layla Carey has more.
Phil Doherty of the Southeast Alaska Regional Dive Fishery Association says they decided to move forward with fishing after meeting last week with some processors. He says those processors found markets other than China for the clams.
We did our PSP sampling on Sunday. We sent the geoducks ducks up to the Department of Environmental Conservation's lab in Anchorage on Monday. We got the PSP results on Tuesday. And of the six areas that we sampled, three of them passed PSP levels, and so we were able to fish.
PSP, or paralytic shellfish poisoning, is caused by eating shellfish contaminated with certain kinds of algae that produce toxins. It can be deadly, so all commercially harvested shellfish is tested before it can be sold. SARDFA suspended testing and therefore fishing soon after China banned imports of West Coast shellfish in December. Chinese officials claimed they found high toxin and arsenic levels in geoducks from Washington State and from dive areas around Ketchikan, but West Coast officials say they've not been given any details or proof from China. That's led to questions about whether the ban is politically motivated. Officials from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration had planned a March 3rd diplomatic trip to China with the goal of solving or at least obtaining more information about that country's ban on West Coast shellfish, but that trip didn't happen. With a little pressure from Alaska Senator Lisa Murkowski, though, NOAA agreed to reschedule the trip and is sending a delegation to China on March 21st. During a Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee meeting with Food and Drug Administrator Margaret Hamburg, Murkowski stressed the importance of resolving the issue and asked that the FDA get involved.
This is an issue that might be very narrow in its scope, but has great impact in, and certainly a portion of my state, impacting some basically family-owned businesses that are really taking a real hit right now.
Hamburg responded that her office has been providing information and support to NOAA and to Chinese officials.
We are not going to be formally part of the delegation, but we'll be in contact with them, we'll be working with them and supporting them, and we also do have an office in China to provide additional support.
Doherty says he and state officials will participate in a teleconference with NOAA and Washington state officials and fishermen before the China trip to provide any information that the delegation needs. He hopes another teleconference will take place soon after that trip. The outcome could determine when and how much divers fish in the near future. China is the largest market for geoduck clams, but not the only one.
There are markets over in Vietnam and Hong Kong and Malaysia, and there are some markets in the United States that these geoducks go to. So I think our processors have done a good job of trying to put something together so the fishermen can go out and earn at least a little bit of money here.
It could be too little, though. Doherty says the price paid in smaller markets might not make the work worthwhile. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Layla Carey.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. We're coming up on 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. To read comments on our stories on Facebook, click on the Facebook link. You do not need a registration or login. And to have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, click on the Twitter link.